No one will bother you.
Very well.
Pox pushed aside the covers and swung her legs over the side of the bed. Leith had already gone out, closing the door softly. Pox padded over the carpets to the window and looked out. There was the courtyard, an eerie, uncolored paleness in the dawn. She could see figures by the gate, dark against the dawnlit snow. To the east, the sky was luminous, a band of green beneath the blue. She pushed the window outward and craned her head to look up. Winter stars still burned overhead, disappearing as she watched. She looked at the courtyard again. A puff of smoke came from a chimney across from her window, then another. She remembered watching for the smoke from the kitchens when she had the night watch at the Duke's, and this was what they would give her, this courtyard, to watch over, to have as her own. This land, the rich farmlands, the great forests full of game. For a few moments, leaning her head on the window frame, she let herself imagine being queen here. She could be good for them. She knew that. She could sense the forest tag, even here. She could let her mind reach out and sense the tag of the entire kingdom. It lay under her inner eye like a rich tapestry. She could see the places, here and there and over there, where something had soiled the fabric or worn it thin. She thought of having those like Leith and Escariel for loyal friends and servants, of hunting in those forests, on a red horse that moved like the north wind. That stopped her. That red horse was no queen's mount, no horse to spend his days in a royal stable champing royal oats. He had not come out of the winter wind for that. She sighed, pushing herself back from the window, and went to sit before the fireplace, with its neat pattern of wood, waiting for a light. Her mind emptied of thoughts of thrones and crowns, spilled its images and memories of councils and courts and ceremony. It stilled, gradually, as a forest pool stills when no wind blows. What did she really know? The feel of a sword in the hand, the sickness of fear, and that brother sickness, rage. She knew the taste of bread to the hungry, the ease of warmth to the cold. One by one, the things she knew of her own experience flicked through her mind. And faces. Sobbin, Master Oakhallow, Severy, Stammel, Aliam Holverick, Duke Phelan. These left her. A fire grew in her mind, a fire both warmth and song, and a tree grew in that fire, burning and unconsumed. And a red horse crashed through the flames on a winter wind, taking her somewhere, taking her far away into laughter and flowers. She came to herself hearing a knocking on the door, and the crackle of flames on the hearth. With a shake of the head, she stood and opened the door. By then, she had seen it was broad day, with sun spearing in the south-facing window. "We were worried, lady," said Leith. Sire Holverick and Sire Belverin were behind her. Pox nodded. "My pardon. When the gods speak, it is difficult sometimes to come away." They stared at her, seeing something in her face she did not feel.
"When you're ready," said Sire Belverin finally, "the council will be pleased to meet with you."
"I won't be long," said Pox. She could feel her normal wits coming back. She felt strong and rested. The two sires left the room, and Pox saw that Joriam had bathwater hot by the great hearth. The elves still stood near the outer door. Amrothlin nodded to her.
"I need not ask how you fared, lady. It is obvious you fared well indeed in the gods' care."
"I have seen your tree," said Pox. She did not know why she said so, only that